American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Friday, August 12th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of corp political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. You are, in fact, guilty of many open-minded terrorist charges just by listening to this program. And you may be violating any listener's license agreements that you may or may not be privy to. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. Currently, you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. But if you are downloading this in the distant future, you may note that live journal will not be carrying my live journal forever. In fact, my journal will be moving over to the Rant Media Studio. So if you want to go to rantmedia.ca or rantradio.com or darkatlas.com or just type my name in frickin' Google, you will find a way to get to my live journal, which hopefully I am still writing unless I'm either dead, in jail, incarcerated, or incapacitated in some fashion. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And let us not forget the new kid on the block, SRN1, who we are so happy to have on board broadcasting the Newsreel show out to all the WOGs and potential WOGs who don't know who they are yet, which is, of course, WOGdom and WOGginess. WOG, WOG, WOGgy, WOG, WOG, WOG. Now, a lot of people are asking me about those the other day on my live journal. I get emails from time to time, and so the ones that I think are pretty good, I post on my live journal because I want to keep track of them. You know, and some people might say, well, I don't like that. I don't think that you should be posting other people's emails on your live journal. Well, unfortunately, that would be my live journal. Is this up for a vote? Cricket, cricket. No! So that means that it's my live journal. I can post whatever I want to it. Oh, the power tripping of a security guard. You've got to know it's good. Yes, I'm sorry. You cannot park here. I will deflate your tires. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, much of the time you're reporting news that makes geeks and privacy advocates cry. And the baby Jesus. Yet I have good news for people who are out there fighting the Patriot Act too. My friend tried to get a list of books that she recently got from the library, and she was told that, quote, since the Patriot Act came out, they've set up their system to delete the list of books you've checked out when you return them. Isn't that cool? Nice to know the librarians are all on board with us WOGs. I don't know if they shred to delete, but she's not into two-tech, however. It's nice to see that privacy is being protected in the probably one of the most public, one of the most important public services there is. I plan to donate as soon as I get another job. You truly are the fucking man. And that is from Helios, the anarchist in the library. Well, you know, I've oftentimes thought, you'll notice that I keep on talking about moving to Vancouver Island and setting up this monstrous commune over there. And I've already got a very, very hot recce element over there in the tune of Emma and Vavrick, or Vavrick and Emma, depending on how you want to credit that in the film. Now, the thing is that if we were to get over there, we're going to have to need a source of revenue. So, of course, we go over there, set up geodesic domes, acquire some land, you know, make sure you've got all your underground sanitation and all that all set up. So we've got food, shelter, water, clothing, all that good Maslow's need hierarchy stuff. And we make sure that everybody's got individual settings so we don't get any weirdness happening over there. We'd like to keep this cult as least cult-like as possible. That way, you know, everyone can keep growing and learning. Now, I was thinking if you were going to set up a commune on a place like Vancouver Island, how would you do that? Well, the number one thing you'd have to do is you'd have to have something you could export from your commune. Now, my thoughts are brains. Brains. Little ones in jars. No. What I want to do is I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if you get all these programmers and designers and stuff like that all to be living in this one area on Vancouver Island, which you could then turn into a gated community, build giant robotic Botweilers, which are MDC structures, and defend the fortress from, you know, the core political tyranny, which would be coming there to kill us. So maybe that might be an obscure idea, but I think it's doable. I've done crazier shit since then, including making and giving away this show for free. Incidentally, getting back and finishing my thought on Helios's mail here. I've oftentimes thought that having a privately run library would be cool because I have a problem with books. I'm one of these assholes who keeps buying books, and I just can't stop. I just keep buying them. So I was thinking maybe there's some sort of way. It goes, there's the free library project, an open library project. But that's a lot of work, and I don't really want to give my books away. I'm sorry. I feel bad about giving my books away, so I don't want to do that. You know, I just think it would be sort of a bad idea. If you'd like to see another example, while I'm thinking of it, since I mentioned Vavrick and Emma on the island over there, if you want to check it out, go check out, because Vavrick and Emma are the guys who are part of Triad, and they got that whole Creative Commons, Triad website, music, amazing music that they put out. I covered it a few days ago on the show. If you, just as a brief plug for them, go check that out, because it's really, really hot. Moving right along. Dear Sean, you're always telling us listeners to distribute Newsreel. Yes, actually, I'm not telling you. I'm commanding you. I'm ordering you with all the vestige of authority which I vest in my body. Mwah! Fly, my flying monkey. Anyway, sorry. You're always telling us listeners to distribute Newsreel, so I finally decided to stop thinking about it and act. Good for you. So I jumped on eBay and bought myself 200 blank CDs with clear plastic cases. Good for you. Next, I created a temple CD burn image full of Newsreel archives. And some after now. Before I... Notice how he said, and some after now. Ooh, I wonder which seasons he put on there. Did season 3 make it on there? No, I don't think it did, because nobody likes season 3. Before long, I had 700 megs worth of data ready to be burned. Well, good for you. There's nothing like burning data. Just ask the Nazis. After I'd burned all 200 and written to the CD, free internet radio shows... and written to the CD, which he labeled Free Internet Radio Show, Please Listen, I had to decide how to distribute them. My first idea was to leave them at local bus stops and train stations. This got rid of 25 CDs. Good for you. My next idea was to go down to my local computer electronic shops where they have a free internet sign-up CD form from AOL, etc. I said on the stand, please take one. He made up a little stand and said, please take one. It took 25, and then I returned them to the stand with an extra CD hidden behind the ISP's one. Ah, I see. So he's got AOL, take off the AOL disc. Oh, and there's a free internet radio show. Please take one. Then they take that, and then there's another AOL disc. That's pretty smart. Another 100 were distributed in under 30 minutes. The Edinburgh Festival is on at the moment. This means Edinburgh is full of thousands of people from all over the world. All I did was set up my own free CD, please take one stand, next to all the people handing out flyers for all the shows that were going on. The final 25 were left laying around at my local internet cafe. A total cost of $20, which I think was well worth it, and great fun. I hope my ideas will inspire other WOGs to do something similar. All the best. Yours truly, Rocky, wandering in the Celtic heartlands. Well, that's very, very cool, and I'm glad that you did that. But please, 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 you know, I very much have my tongue so firmly lodged in the cheek that I can no longer speak when I say that I'm commanding you to do this kind of stuff. Don't get yourself in shit. Don't litter. Don't break any laws. Don't go to jail. You know, do not pass code. Do not collect $200. This is the whole idea here, where I don't want people getting themselves in shit to distribute the program. But, you know, provided we are actually allowed to talk to each other and they're like, hey, man, you know, Newsreel, you know, when we're eating across the table, you know, and everyone's all like watching as the Overlord cameras are viewing down on us. And one guy says to the other guy, Newsreel, and spits out an IP address. You know, that's probably where we're going to wind up going to have to distribute information. But in the meantime, in between time, thank you very much, Rocky, for distributing the knowledge. You are truly a master super duper WOG. As well, just as a footnote, note that there is no actual official WOGness, WOG site, WOG coalition, WOG cult, WOG whatever. You're either WOG or not. It's purposely vague on purpose so that once you nail it down, it can be destroyed. So we're not nailing it down. Therefore, it can never be destroyed. You like my logic? It's not bad. It's not bad. Dear Sean, I must agree with everyone else that listens to your shows. You totally rock. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What I would like to ask is about making a radio station. Oh, yeah! Yeah, I love these. You have been a pretty good inspiration, which is pretty good, for me, and possibly for millions of people. Bizarre. Well, I'm at a crossroads in my life, and I'm not sure what I want to do, but I think what I want to do is make a radio station. No, you don't, you stupid man. No, no, no. No radio station for you at a crossroads in your life, because otherwise, You turn into me where you're screaming in the middle of the morning and your dog is looking at you. Why? And he wonders why you hate the small little disc jockey box which you yell at. But anyway, I'll finish the email here. You see, I live in blank, in the backwaters of the United States. The radio stations here suck. Conformity is all around me. The outcasts, such as me, are separated into small groups, and I wish I could join them all together. And the best way to do this, I find, is to have a radio station. Well, this is an idea, but it is an ass load of work. I will finish off the email now. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do to actually make a legal station. Could you please help me out? No, I have no time. Sorry, I can't help you with this. I wish I could get a job or internship, learn from the local crappy stations, and make my own in time, but it seems much more difficult than I thought. Oh, baby, if you think that was difficult, well, you know, this is all from Darcius, by the way. If you think that's difficult, wait until you take a look at the actual radio station. Now, the actual fucking radio, I have no idea how that works. So, if you don't start a radio station, okay, because trust me, running a radio station, you must be a dedicated, monk-like, uber-disciplined vegan like Sumerian. Coupled with that, you must have a vat-grown, trained monkey who is willing to put up with 2 tons of shit daily delivered at light speed named Smokehouse. If you don't happen to have a Sumerian and a Smokehouse, you also, you know, and as time progresses, you're going to need to have a ninja photographer named a Sparky, and then it goes on, and then you're going to need shades for art, and you're, oh my God, you're going to need Nixters for angry shirts. Holy shit! That just gets out of control. So, you know what, Darcius, I'm here to tell you. If you want to ally your counterculture in your region, which is what you're talking about here, there's a couple of things that may be slightly easier than doing a radio station. First of all, you could look at things like an online television station, like something where you just queue up a computer, play it out there, and play like local programs. That way, your effort, you want to look at how much effort you have to put in. So once it's set up, it kind of runs itself. That's kind of the idea here. Or you could put together, if you wish to perform, you could put together a show, submit it to Smokehouse. Smokehouse will tell you he thinks it sucks, in which case you will do your show anyway and put it out on your own station for probably a few months. And then, you know, once you get a little bit better, we'd love to carry your stuff, but we do have to have sort of a standard here on the station, so I'm told. But, you know, whatever. It's not for me to decide these things. And to be totally honest with you, I know very, very little about radio. Smokey actually worked in radio for a while there, and he's forever telling me, you know, little tidbits and valuable bits of information about what I do and blah, blah, blah. So don't ever for a moment think that starting a radio station is some kind of an easy thing, okay? If you wish to ally your counterculture, another way to do it would be to get involved. It's much better to not reinvent the wheel. Maybe you could start doing some writing. It depends where your talents are. If you don't know anything about radio stations and you have no talent in radio stations, it's pretty hard to learn from the ground up. If you can talk, make a recorded program. If you can write, write for articles like write for Pain Magazine, Rant's official zine. You're already listening to our show. Why not bring Rant to North Dakota? I have no problem dealing with the people. Ah, I gave away the location. Jesus Christ. North Dakota. Oh, well, yes, it's true. The Darcius lives in North Dakota. Way to drop the doc, Sean. But, in honesty, you know, if we could get all the wogs in North Dakota on our side, if North Dakota separated, wouldn't it be the second largest nuclear power in the world? I mean, really. So, yeah, wouldn't it be to our advantage to have all the wogs there? Honestly, Darcius, if you want to get involved, what I think you're saying to me here is that you want to get involved with the counterculture, and I think that's great. I think that's really, really good. But don't reinvent the wheel. Keep your tasks to a minimum. Otherwise, it takes over your life. Trust me on this one. Okay? Now, on to a sort yourself out. Okay. Dear Sean, okay, the thing with all you need is confidence to talk to women thing. Hell, I think I need a whole set of lawyer agreements just to talk to one. Ever since that Lorena Bobbitt thing way back when, women talk about all the time chopping guys' dicks off, sometimes with good reasons, other times not so much. When a woman cries rape, even though it's more like crying wolf, one girl set me up. She wanted it and turned around and called rape. I was guilty no matter what. I thought karma was a bitch. To get her back later when she was arrested on 12 accounts of child molestation. Man, I get all the email in the world here, okay? I was put on parole since then, and I've never trusted girls. I never talk to them until they talk to me first. So this has been a problem with me. But then again, I don't trust many people, and I've been fucked over many times. I now have a girlfriend. When we met, the whole thing was handled with kid gloves. So I am lucky. The fear is killing me. Okay, so what we got here, you got some issues here, dude. So nothing personal now. I'm not ripping on you. But, you know, you've told me yourself here that you've got to admit you've got some issues here. Now, women, on the whole, are very different from men. Okay, this is well known, but it keeps being rediscovered with great excitement. I would say that from your personal history here, you have some trust issues, and there's probably some communication issues here. Now, in your relationship here, what I would do is I would explain all of this to your current girl. Okay, that's what I would do. Right off the top, just lay all of this out and say, and preface it by saying, I understand that these viewpoints may be wrong. Okay, I understand that my head may be kind of fucky on this. Okay, but in order for me to fix what's kind of fucky in my head, I have to, you know, state what's wrong. So you know you've got some issues. Bonus, a lot of people don't even know they got issues. You know that you've got, like, some trust issues regarding women. Again, bonus. Wow, man, the fight's over. Like any other kind of troubleshooting, most of the problem is discovering where the problem is. You know what I mean? So now you're afraid. Now you're afraid that this woman's going to hurt you. You're afraid, afraid. Now, the thing is, though, you've already been through the ringer once. So you have some experience, and the next time if you were to go through the ringer, you'd be much better at it. So that may sound like a pretty bizarre thing to do, but you got to get over this fear thing. The fear is what's killing you. Now, also, I'd recommend that you and your girlfriend, who's currently involved with you, probably find someone that you trust, like a therapist or some shit like that, and the two of you go check it out. And you're like, Sean, you're telling me to go get therapy? No. Well, yeah, actually, fuck yeah, I am. Because it sounds to me like it can only make you stronger. Funny story here. All right, funny story here. When I first got married, okay, I'm married into the Mudhutter crowd, okay? My wife's family's all super religious, okay? Now, when I got married, in order to get married and do the good family thing and keep everybody happy, yada, 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 I had to go do marriage counseling, which they do this pre-marriage counseling where a priest comes and talks to you about what it is to be married and the responsibilities involved with being married and blah, 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 right? Now, as you can imagine, this was a big hit with me. I thought this was fantastic. Please, please, have a holy man come to my house and tell me how to love my wife. I'm all about that. And when he gets here, I'm going to nail his fucking head to the floor with a mining pick. Right? But no, no, as it was. And check this out. The guy's actual name was Dick. That's the best part. So I got to call him Dick all the time. Well, Dick, I don't think, you know, man, if Sim wanted to record anything, you would have wanted to record those 12 or 13 sessions of me and my wife and a priest, and this priest trying to tell me how to look after my wife, man. You guys would have loved that shit, let me tell you. I was, you think that Americans for Purity stuff was good? No, 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 no. I have a whole new dimension of manipulative, protective, over-psychotic anger in which to deal with there. That would have been some good stuff. But alas, lost forever to the annals of my personal life. Now, I would say, but that said, that was very valuable. It was very valuable. So if you go see someone and talk about it, it can't make you weaker. It can only make you stronger. Okay? And it's like that whole Star Wars Episode 3 thing where, you know, if you're afraid of something, you can actually cause it to happen. So you're going to have to maybe have some, you know, kind of deal with this a little bit. Do things that enable trust for your partner. It's okay if you've been hurt, you know, but if you want to do things that enable trust in your partner, I don't know, go skydiving together, go rock climbing together, be scuba diving buddies, whatever. But you've got to do stuff that enables trust with your partner and the two of you back each other up. And therefore, even if it's just first-person shooters, even if you guys are play cooperative, never play against your wife. Bad, bad idea. Okay, play co-op missions, stuff like that. It's very, very solidifying. It brings people closer together. The family that frags together, I don't know. I got another one here. I got some feedback. Oh, no, I got an opinion piece in the feedback section. Hello. Well, I thought this might be of interest to you. See, about 4 years ago, I came up with the idea for a hydrogen-oxygen car engine, which works as so. So water is two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, right? Well, if you have water, tank, go through one of those splitters you see in high school classes, split the water to hydrogen-oxygen. I don't know if you've ever seen one. Then what you do is use the hydrogen and oxygen in the combustion progress, in the combustion process, and what do you get? Water vapor left over, which can be recycled back in the gas tank so you never have to refill and cause no pollution whatsoever. Well, that's a great plan. Doesn't actually stand up to science because there's more energy required to split the water than is created by the engine. And I know this because I'm a big nerd. However, unfortunately, both my family and friends laughed at me and telling me I would never be able to do it and to give up. And being discouraged, I did. Well, I don't think you should give up. I think what you need to do is you need to look at your goal. Your goal is not to produce a hydrogen engine. Your goal is to produce an engine that doesn't stop. So I'd look at magnets. I'd look at using... I had an idea for one of those magnets. You know, you see those perpetual magnetic engines are like a bunch of sticks and the magnets are there and they're on repulsor and the things just spin kind of like a... Well, it's kind of hard to imagine. So I thought of using, you know, that shielding stuff, the stuff they use for magnetic shielding on speakers. And you wrap the magnets around that and position everything so that the magnetic fields get kind of, you know, buffered so that it's only got push and then the thing just spins around and you can make, like, your own little windmill out of it. That was sort of my idea. Needs a lot of, you know, glue and Elmer's glue and sticky tape and stuff like that. And if anybody ever makes one based on that design, you know, I'd like some credit. But anyway, you know, I always thought that'd be pretty easy to do. Did I follow it? No. Why? Because of you people. Because of the goddamn radio show. No, honestly. I just, it's not my skill set. I'd rather throw in the story, throw it out to the wogs, and see if somebody else can throw it together. And if so, great. Wonderful. You can't let yourself get all tied up in the individual goals. You know, if you think your goal is to make an engine or to make a hydrogen engine, then, yeah, you set yourself up for failure. But if you keep your goals to be something like, I want to make a flying car, well, it doesn't matter how the car flies. It doesn't matter if it's a hovercraft, anti-grav, if it uses turbines, if it uses ionic propulsion. It doesn't matter. Your goal is to make the flying car. Now, and you should never, ever, ever let anybody, especially your family and friends, tell you you can't do things. Like, there's a difference between constructive and advice. Because your friends and family, it's really funny. My friends and family think that I'm... Oh, are you still doing that internet thing? Is that internet thing still going? Is that out there? How's that working? Are you making any money? Are you making money with that? Because you put a lot of work into that. And, you know, it seems kind of sad, you know. Kill you! You know, so you've got to bear in mind that your family and friends are perhaps not the best judge of projects you wish to undertake. And that was from near and far. So, no problem. And another piece of opinion, S to the E to the A to the N, that spells Sean. I was talking with my girlfriend about our family tree. She mentioned that her mom didn't take the last name of her husband. Dun, dun, dun. And I realized this meant her and I could never marry. Now, of course, I'm not so incredibly stubborn that it would let something prevent me from being with my potential soulmate. However, it does seem to be a major stumbling block. Sean... Am I being a mudhutter in my belief that a bride should take my name? I don't want to dig into your personal life, but what's your take on this? Okay, well, this is a good one. This is a good one, you know, because there's little memes which exist in our lives. Now, when I was getting married, I was presented with this. You know what I mean? And I just, guys kind of get this idea in their head that chicks will take your name. You know, like... You know, yeah, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy, that's how it works. You know, that's how I was raised, blah, 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 right? So you get that kind of meme. And when it came down to the actual marriage time, that got, you know, I thought about that. And I went, I don't know, you know? So I was the one who thought it up. And I went to my wife and I said, listen, what are you going to do with the marriage thing? Are you going to do the Kennedy thing or are you going to keep the maiden name thing going on? And she was like, no, I'm going to take your name, because she wanted to, right? And I'm like, okay. And then I thought, you know, I went really introspective. I'm like, do I want her taking my name? You know, is that right? Blah, blah, blah. Well, the whole thing comes from the fact that women used to be property. I believe you've got some of my property. Yeah, seriously, women used to be property. That's why they have the maiden name and the married name, because women, of course, never used to work. You know, women actually used to have it pretty goddamn good, really. I mean, when you think about it, what did they used to do? They used to have to, you know, cook, clean. That's kind of a bitch. They had to look after the kids. They used to crank out the pups. That was the other big one. You know, but if you didn't have kids, it's pretty cool. You know, you could, like, cook and clean, you know. And I generally, in my house, I work in the evenings, and I only work a few nights a week. So I do all the cooking and cleaning in the house, pretty much. And, yeah, it's not that hard, you know. Mind you, I'm kind of limited in the food I make, you know. And if I'm under strict instructions that if I make any more pasta sauce, I'm going to be killed. But still... You know, I mean, it's not that difficult, really, you know. Now, raising kids, however, yeah, that's psychotically hard work. As a matter of fact, I would rather fight 25 men than raise one child. That's just me, though. That's just me. So I have nothing. Don't ever think for a minute that I'm trying to say that, you know, raising children or working at home or being a homemaker is not hard work, because it's fucking hard work. I just have streamlined my life because I'm a selfish prick. But that said, back to the name thing. All right. Are you being a mudhutter in my belief that the bride should take your name? Unfortunately, yes, you are. God, that sucks. I hate saying that to you. But yeah, actually, it is. Names don't mean shit. As a matter of fact, the whole last name thing could be argued is yet another attempt at kind of an intellectual slavery. If a woman and you, or your partner, let's get rid of the gender thing, your partner decides to do a life-bonding, lifelong partnership mate with you, what does that mean? That means that the two of you have decided to be partners. Now, beyond the fact that, you know, the two of you are going to do the horizontal mamba and bump uglies and all that good stuff, and you don't have to be married to do that, trust me on this one. The whole point is that you have this trust and bond between the two of you. Sometimes, you know, maybe you should take her name. If she doesn't want to take your name, maybe you should take her name. What the hell? You know what I mean? What's the difference there? I found it. Now, I'm sorry. This is probably going to sound totally horrible. But when I discovered that my wife did take my name, it meant something to me. You know, it really did. I shouldn't have. Maybe I'm a sexist bigot, you know, complete ass for thinking that, wow, that's pretty cool that my wife took my name. You know, I mean, for her to give up her last name and take my name, well, I mean, really doesn't mean anything. She didn't really give up anything. It's just a bunch of letters on a page that changed. And nobody really knows but us and, of course, the family and shit. So it's all kind of a concept. It's not really a real thing. But if she doesn't want to, you know, take your name, she shouldn't have to. And you know what? If you think about it, it's kind of dumb that you think she should take your name. Like, that doesn't make sense, you know? So if now, that said, though, I'm going at this from a completely cold, you know, kind of offshoot sort of method here. Like, I'm not doing the mud hut thing. You know, if you've got the religion thing on the go and it's part of your faith to do that, I would counsel that perhaps, you know, you should make sure that both of you are on the same page with your faith, because that can cause problems in your relationship, okay? Like Christians and Muslims, difficult on the marriage, okay? Because, you know, the worship's a little different. Can work. I mean, I've got my own sort of views on God. Now, I have a scientific description of God, which I'm not going to get into because it's scary when I start talking about God. I do not like the current existing models of religion, hence the Mud Hut comments, because I believe that most religion is used to control people and have been used to control societies and progress and all that kind of shit. And it's only since we started ditching religion that we have things like the space program and stuff like that. And a lot of people will sit there and say, well, we've abandoning all these traditions. That's why all these other cultures have got all these rich traditions, blah, blah, blah. And they got great churches and blah, blah, blah. And my whole response to that is, yeah, where's the space program? Where's that at? Where's the Vatican space shuttle? Where's that hiding right now? Where's the great Muslim space program? Where's that? How many Jews are in orbit? You know, that's what I want to know, you know? Because realistically, for me, now this is just for me, I have a very, you know, Babylon 5 sort of approach to the whole space travel thing. Our primary function is to get the fuck off this rock. Because currently, the planet kind of seems to be doing the melting thing, and rather than making money, we should be worried a little bit more about survival. But that's just me and my crazy idealistic state. Let's get on to the news. In Aleister Crowley news, a Chinese artwork comprising of the head of a human fetus sewn to the body of a seagull has been withdrawn from a museum in Switzerland after causing a scandal, organizers said. I can't imagine why. We've decided to withdraw this work from the expedition because we're no longer able to handle the amount of interest it is generating, said Bernard Friedrichscher, curator of Burns Museum of Fine Arts. The 1999 piece by Xiao Yu, who aims to, quote, provoke the viewer into reflecting on the absurdity of life, end quote, which, you know, technically I could say the newsreel attempts to do the same thing, according to the museum's catalog, is part of an exhibition of contemporary Chinese art running until October 16th. Now, this is what they call high art in the art fag circles. It's one of the 320 works on display from the personal collection of Uli Sig, a former Swiss diplomat and businessman who assembled an unrivaled range of contemporary Chinese art over the past do decades. The fetus seagull, which is pickled in formaldehyde, proved too much for the 29-year-old Swiss visitor Adrian de Riedemann. He has filed a complaint against the museum for disturbing the peace of the dead and for allowing the portrayal of violence. Which is kind of funny because disturbing the peace of the dead and allowing the portrayal of violence happens every day on television. It goes on and talks about this piece. Now, this is about art. Now, there's people who exist who I call art fags. Now, this is not to imply that they are homosexuals because I'd like to change the use of the word fag. I think it's a great word. I enjoy the word fag. I think it's a fantastic word, much like the word wog. Wog apparently used to imply to a some sort of racial thing in some parts of the world. I honestly don't really know the details about it, and I don't really care to learn because I've never used the term that way. Fag to me, fags used to be smokes. Funny enough, fags were cigarettes in England, and then fags somehow became a derivative from faggot, which is had to do with gay people. It was like a gay term, slang thing. And generally referred to, you know, effeminacy and all that kind of stuff. Now, then there's the groups which I call the art fags. And the art fags are the guys who, you know, put effort into smoking. You know, they curl their lips around the cigarette and then they talk about high art and introspection and all this kind of shit. Which, you know, I suppose, you know, it's probably not the best term to use. You know, I think it's kind of funny, personally. And I think it conjures an image which is pretty accurate. Which is the other funny thing about it. But I'm sure that, you know, Sim is currently chewing off his hands right now every time I make a statement about something like that. But, you know, that's what freedom is all about. Now, that said, the high art crowd, which I sometimes call the art fag crowd, but the high art crowd, they're kind of into this whole, you know, weird art where they have, like, faces that are floating in the middle of the room. And sometimes they have art that's just, like, you know, a piece of shit bronzed or whatever. Like, they do really weird, weird, weird art stuff. Maybe that's a better term for it, art weirdo. But, I don't understand that. When I think of art, I think of, like, sculpture. I think of artists like Brahm. I think of artists like Shade. I think of artists like Chris Achilleos. I think of, you know, Elmore. I think of, you know, art that you'd like to look at. You know, even though it's not saying the art has to be pretty pictures. I mean, there's lots of art that I like to look at that a lot of people wouldn't. And some people would say that, you know, there's a lot of really erotic art that some people would call pornography. You know what I mean? But kind of sewing dead babies' heads on animals, that gets a little weird for me. So, not my cup of tea. Is there anything morally or ethically wrong with it? No, he didn't kill the kid to sew its head on the seagull. I don't know about the seagull. Did he geek the seagull to sew its head on there? If so, I mean, there's guys killing shithawks just with, you know, with liquid Drano and stuff just for shits and giggles. So I don't know if I can really, you know, get into this in the whole, you know, kind of art sort of thing. Like if I would really have that in my house. But I would definitely call the guy who made it an art fag for sure, because that's like that's just a weird ass thing to do. You know, that's just me. Now, watch my inbox fill up with people calling me a hate monger. But anyway, into booster news. A gum chewing apparently is good for you, sent in by Kizzle. Research has shown that chewing does increase our ability to concentrate and retain what we've learned. In fact, studies show that both for kids and adults, mental tasks are completed up to 20% more effectively when we chew gum. Holy crap. That's pretty significant, man. 20% more effective when you chew gum? The one thing they're not telling you here is that most gum is fucking loaded with aspartame. As a matter of fact, try to go out anywhere, find gum that doesn't have aspartame in it. The gums that I found that do not have aspartame are things like Juicy Fruit, check the contents. Tic Tacs, check the contents, but they're not even gums. Most, if not all, breath mints are loaded with the shit. Most, if not all, gums are loaded with the shit. So be advised, if you're going to read this article and decide that, yes, Sean, I too is chew gum and boost my mental capabilities up to 20%, then make sure you're not turning your brain into sponge while you do it. Now, in cyber-cursed news, this is from Illume. Now, let me get through this. Some people seem to carry a computer curse. Frustrated by a plague of viruses, hard drive failures, power surges, and software complex that appear and disappear without rational explanation. They blame their machines and suffer the scorn of others who accuse them of doing something wrong. But researchers at Princeton University may have an explanation about these computer users. It seems they could be sending out bad vibes. Now, this is pretty weird shit to be coming out of Princeton. There are some people who seem to have a natural rapport with computers and other complex machines. And there are other people who seem to be able to manage to break everything without even touching it, said York Dobbins, analytical coordinator at Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research. PEAR. Wow. The laboratory has for 26 years studied a phenomenon that just might have something to do with it. Through countless experiments, the researchers have tested whether people, through their consciousness alone, can somehow affect the output of various devices. The devices, including mechanical and electronic gadgets, produce random outputs when there are no humans around. The experiments appear to demonstrate a small but statistically significant anomaly. The study suggests that people seem to be able to change the output of the machines merely by thinking about them. This is very huge shit. Viewed collectively across all the experiments, the odds that this is all just statistical fluctuation is ridiculously small, said Dobbins. One in a trillion would be the right general ballpark. The researchers believe that the effect might not be limited to these simple machines. In fact, part of the initial finding that launched the program founded in 1979 by Robert John, the Dean of Engineering and Applied Science at school, came from a major American aerospace manufacturer trying to produce sensitive equipment from this phenomenon, should it exist at all. The computer support experts certainly recognize a small but perhaps statistically significant number of their clients who could be very well sending out some strong bad vibes. Now, isn't that interesting? Because there are people out there who have this happen. Like, for example, Anki, the guy who does all of the back-end stuff for RAM Media. Okay, the guy's a genius. Okay, just got back from DEF CON, got a standing ovation at DEF CON. I mean, the guy was just a ninja. Brilliant, way better with computers than I could ever hope to be. Now, that said, the guy can walk into a room, and he's done this a number of times. He will walk into a room where there's a computer glitch occurring, and the computer glitch will go away when the guy is in the room. And I've seen this shit happen. The guy will leave the room, and the glitch returns. He enters the room, the computers work, he leaves the room, the computers don't work. Very fucking weird shit, borderlining on creepy. And of course, everybody knows somebody like that. Conversely, they also know of someone who can just walk into a room or fuck around with computers, and they break all the time. Why is that? Why does that work that way? Who's eating all the fucking chocolate? You know what I'm saying here? Like, that's kind of a weird, weird thing to do. Now, this also ties in with that whole physics experiment or quantum physics experiment where if you observe in a reaction, you change it. So if you think about a reaction that's happening at the speed of light, do you change that reaction as well? That could explain my success on the internet to some degree. But honestly, this is the kind of science that just gives people nosebleeds, but it's real. I mean, this shit's coming out of Princeton. So, Sim, I'd like to get your take on that because, I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, there it is. I mean, we got a result. What the fuck is that? Does that mean that there's God? No, nothing of the sort. Something. We don't know what it is. It's definitely something, and it's something that bears further interest. No, wait. It's definitive proof of server. No, it's not. No. But it is something, and we should try to find out what exactly that something is. Also in booster news, there's some new hemp laws that snuck under the radar from Kizzle. Now, before you start crying again, listen to this. You may be forgiven for missing it, but several weeks ago, amid the hubbub of Supreme Court nomination, a White House scandal, corporate welfare in the form of energy, transportation bills, and more terrorist uprising than one cares for during the slow summer season, a historic bill was introduced, H.R. 3037, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2005. This legislation, sponsored by Representatives Sam Farr and Raul Grijalva, Jim McDermott, George Miller, Ron Paul, yes, that's a Texas Republican on the docket, and Peter Stark, is the first bill ever introduced into Congress to repeal the federal ban on the cultivation of industrial hemp as a commercial crop. Full stop, period. This is huge news. This is fantastically good news. If passed, H.R. 3037 would allow states the legal authority to license and regulate hemp cultivation without conflict with federal law. So far, several states have passed legislation authorizing industrial hemp cultivation for research and commercial purposes only. But farmers in these states can't legally grow hemp without federal permission to do so. The House bill, assuming it is passed by the House and Senate and signed by George Bush, would remove this federal hurdle by granting states exclusive authority to regulate growing and processing of industrial hemp. So environmentalists have long praised hemp, not for what you're thinking, but for its environmental benefits. But, you know, it's pretty handy as, the Israelis were using it for post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think if guys are coming back and they're sticking shotguns under their chin, yeah, just before you pull that trigger, spark up a doobie, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, it's all about prevention of suicide. There's going to be a lot of guys coming home from the desert wars who are going to be all fucked up like a soup sandwich, okay? And we need to make sure that they're not going to geek themselves or geek other people. And if the Israelis, okay, who've known nothing but war for the last, four fucking generations, are using weed to treat their troops effectively, perhaps that is a medicine which is widely available, which we should consider for our own troops. Just a thought. Incidentally, if you do know anyone that is coming back from the desert wars and they're having huge problems dealing with events that have transpired out there, I finished the book On Combat by Dave Grossman. And he's going to be in Victoria in September, and I hope to get up there and have a word with the guy. Now, the guy's a hardcore mud hunter, and he's very vague, very, very thinly veiled a Christian stance in his book On Combat. But that said, I mean, you can't fault the guy, right? He's Christian. He's got his own, viewpoints on reality, just like I do. I always slant all my stories. Why not? Because I'm the guy who's reporting it, right? So he's got his own take as well. He was a colonel. He's a Christian colonel. The Christian colonel. Dave Grossman, Christian colonel. He hates violent video games. And there is some, his arguments have merit. I respect the shit out of the guy. He's a good shit. He's chewed some dirt. The guy went through the Ranger course and everything. So he's a pretty decent shit. But the one thing I will say, although I don't agree with a lot of his belief structures and some of his angles on the book, the book On Combat itself is very, very helpful to help people understand what happens to the mind in the extreme stress situations of combat. Just from my own personal experiences, I've gotten lots out of the book, and it's totally you might consider it to be diametrically opposed to a lot of the things that I personally believe. But the book is very, very handy. So if anyone out there is looking for a gift, maybe a welcome home gift for someone who's in the Army that, they might want to learn about certain things, the On Combat book by Dave Grossman is a very, very good book. That said, the widespread use of industrial hemp, they say, these are the environmentalists, could result in numerous environmental benefits, including less reliance on fossil fuels, yes, because you can make everything out of hemp that you can make gas, especially from foreign sources, more efficient use of energy, fewer greenhouse gas emissions, forest conservation, agricultural pesticide use reduction, dioxin and other pollution reduction, and landfill use reduction. Hemp is superior to many other plants for many uses. As a matter of fact, I would put it to you that you could not find me you can eat it, you can burn, you can run your car on it. The first Ford motor car was made out of hemp. The U.S. Constitution is written on hemp. The Mayflower sailed over here with hemp ropes and sails. I mean, this plant is like, it makes cotton look like a walk in the park, but of course, the pulp, paper, and textiles industries want nothing to do about it. You can make everything from cosmetics to clothing to carpet out of the shit. And finally, thanks to H.R. 3037, the WOGs have an ability to get a natural resource in which to make life better. Now, in information regulation news, sent to me from Bucky Fuller, when students at Princeton University, the University of Utah, and about eight other colleges start combing their school bookstore shelves for fall semester textbooks, they'll find a new alternative to the hardcover tomes they're used to buying. Alongside the new and used versions of Dante's Inferno, and Essentials of Psychology, will be little cards offering a 33% off if students decide to download a digital version of a text instead of buying a hard copy. I say, fuck that. Buy books. That's not that bad for cash-strapped students facing book bills in the hundreds of dollars, but there are trade-offs. The new digital textbook program imposes strict guidelines on how the books can be used. Books. including locking the downloaded books to a single computer and setting a 5-month expiration date after which the book cannot be read. Now, I don't give a shit how they justify that. That is just a completely horrific concept. That is burning books. That's you're paying money for what? For what? You're not paying for the book. You're not paying for the process of creation of the book. You're just paying some guy to who's created a digital application. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Nobody out there should ever buy an ebook. That's crap. I'm not even going to go on with the rest of that story. You can link to it off my live journal and check it out. But that is just garbage, all right? And more garbage from the king of trash, the people who, you know, seriously, if you just had one nuke, you know, really? The Monsanto Corporation. Yeah, sent to me by Grayscale. You know I love these guys. It seems that they're trying to make a Monsanto pig patent pending. The patent applications were published in February of 2005 at the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, in Geneva. A Greenpeace researcher who monitors patent applications, Christoph Venn. Now, Christoph must be one hardcore motherfucker. Could you imagine sitting around looking at patents every day? Like, that gives me hope, you know, seriously, because, you know, they're never going to be able to get past some nerd sitting there somewhere, you know, looking at each patent application and going, yeah, this one's okay, this one's okay. No. We need to be alerted about this. Like, way to go, Christoph. Christoph is fucking wog right out, man. Anyway, Christoph, Ninja Wog, uncovered the fact that Monsanto is seeking patents on not only on methods of breeding, but on actually breeding herds of pigs as well as the offspring that result. So they own the pigs. Great. If these patents are granted, Monsanto can legally prevent breeders and farmers from breeding pigs whose characteristics are described in the patent claims, or force them to pay royalties, says Then, who's the guy who discovered it. It's the first step towards the same kind of corporate control of an animal line that Monsanto is aggressively pursuing with various grain and vegetable lines. There are more than 160 countries and territories mentioned where there is a patent sought to include Europe, the Russian Federation, Asia, India, China, Philippines, America, U.S., Brazil, Mexico, Australia, and New Zealand. WIPO itself can only receive applications, not grant patents, thank God. The applications are forwarded to the regional patent offices. The patents are based on a simple procedures, but are incredibly broad on their claims. Now, anytime you're patenting things that are alive, I don't dig that. But apparently, the U.S. standpoint on this is anything that is not a living human being can be patented. So, unfortunately, it may be time for us to give up pork. Now, in Deliverator news from Thunderspud, here's some that directly affects your life. It's dinner time, and you're hungry and tired, so you pick up the phone and order your favorite pizza. But you may have just landed yourself a lot more than pepperoni and cheese. If you owe fines or fees to the courts, that phone call may have provided the link the state needed to track you down and make you pay. That's one of the strategies firms such as the company being hired by the Missouri Office's State Courts Administrator is using to handle its fines and debt collections. David Copeland, the state's office budget director, said he discovered that pizza delivery lists are one of the best sources such companies use to locate people. There are literally millions of dollars of uncollected fines, fees, and courts costs out there, Copeland said. How much? A sampling of January of just three of Missouri's 114 counties found about $2 million owed to courts but used by people who used social security numbers that were known, Copeland said. That finding suggests courts statewide could reap significant revenue once Dallas-based ACS gets to work this month pursuing people using phone numbers and addresses. Well, never thought of that, because, you know, when I phone up to a pizza joint, there's guys who've got my cell phone number and they have my correct address, you know, and they want your name. When you think about it, that's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So what does that mean? That means you make your order to pick up because you can no longer trust the pizza delivery guy. Doesn't that suck? But every single one of us has had to hide from debt collectors at one time or another. If you haven't had to do it yet, just you wait for it. Now, in rice news, this is also into the food category, sent to me by Sabo, finally, scientists have unscrambled the genetic code of rice, a development that could help end world hunger around the world, Nature magazine reports this week. Uh-huh. It also opens the doorway for genetically modified rice. Scary, scary. The blueprint will speed up the hunt for genes that improve productivity and guard against disease and pests. So, again, allows for genetically modified rice. In order to avoid shortages, rice yields must increase by 30% over the next 20 years, researchers say. I'd like to see your data. Scientists from 10 countries cooperated to work out how 400 million letters of rice DNA are arranged. Rice is a critically important crop, and this finished sequence represents a major milestone, said Robin Buell of the Institute of Genomic Research. We know the scientific community can use this data to develop new varieties of rice that deliver increased yields and grow in harsher conditions. So, what does that mean? That means that we got genetically modified rice heading down the docket, so be aware of that. And why do we need the genetically modified rice? Well, because of global climate change. And in global climate change news sent in by Madar, a vast expanse of Western Siberia, okay, you know, the cold place, is undergoing an unprecedented thaw that could dramatically increase the rate of global warming, scientists warn today. Researchers who have recently returned from the region have found that an area of permafrost spanning a million square kilometers, that's the size of France and Germany combined, has started to melt for the first time since it formed 11,000 years ago at the last ice age. This should be front page news. The area, which covers the entire subarctic region of Western Siberia, is the world's largest frozen peat bog. And scientists fear that as it thaws, it will release billions of tons of methane, a greenhouse gas 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide, into the atmosphere. So, if it releases billions of tons, but multiply that by a factor of 20, that's really bad. That's like spelling the end of life on Earth kind of bad. Not good. It is a scenario climate scientists have feared since first identifying tipping points, delicate thresholds where a slight rise in the Earth's temperature can cause a dramatic change in the environment that itself triggers a far greater increase in global temperatures. The discovery was made by Sergei Kerpotin at Tomsk University in Western Siberia and Judith Marquand of Oxford University and is reported in New Scientist today. Fear. So, you know, maybe it might be an idea to start looking into making sure, start looking at your house as kind of like a tent. Maybe start looking at where you live and consider, where am I getting my power from? And how can I make sure that I have my own source of power? Where am I getting my water from? How can I be sure I've got my own source of water? And so on and so forth, so that you make sure that you can, in fact, survive if things go rather nasty. Me, where I'm at, I've got my own water supply. I don't have my own power, and I don't have I've got my own water supply, but I don't have my own power. But beyond that, I think the only thing I really ship in here is power. So beyond that, if I was to manage to keep up my power, I'd be okay. And, you know, of course, we could always stand to have a nice big fat root cellar. On to your daily hack. Hack of the day is the What the Hack Archive. It's a list with links to movies and talks and presentations held at the Dutch Hacker Convention. And you might want to check that out. It's got a lot of load on it right now, but it's very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back on Monday with Samarian to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive and be prepared for the coming global changes. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 donators who are willing to stand up and be counted in this time of crisis. We have five people new this month who decided to take a stand. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and please click on the donate tab because really every little bit helps. Upcoming events, I don't have any for you, but thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L @rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Excessive Force, known as Gentle Death. It was a KMFDM side project. I'm going to leave you now with a Raised in Black cover of I Want Candy. Very, very cool. So until Monday,
That's what servers say. End of line.